Amen. Well, before I begin, I do want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach up here. It's always an honor to get to preach in this pulpit, so I'm appreciative for the opportunity. And so thank you for that. And so we're there in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And of course, in 2 Samuel 12, we see the famous story of Nathan the prophet going to King David. And he goes there to correct, rebuke, reprove David on a major and popular sin in his life. And we're not going to go through the entire story for sake of time, but if you know the story, of course, King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he goes on to orchestrate the death of her husband, of Uriah the Hittite. And in 2 Samuel 12, in verse number 7, we see the famous words from Nathan, the man of God. 2 Samuel 12, verse number 7, it says, "And Nathan said to David," he says these four words. He says, "Thou art the man." And, you know, you read those words, and those are some powerful words. When you have Nathan, the man of God, going to King David, and he says, "No, thou art the man." And while we can sit here and look down on David for what he did, the truth is that all of us must go through times of correction in our lives. You know, all of us need to realize that, look, we all need to be corrected in our lives. And, you know, what is correction? Correction is the action or process of correcting something. It's to make right a change that rectifies an error or inaccuracy. And, you know, this evening I want to preach a sermon on correction and being corrected. And the reality is, the disclaimer is, look, you need correction in your life. I need correction. All of us in this room, we must go through times of correction. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, don't turn there, but the Bible says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." So none of us are above correction. We all need correction in our lives. There are things that all of us need to work on. So don't think, well, I'm the person, I don't need to be corrected in life. Well, that is foolishness and that is pride, and it'll lead to destruction. And I have a few points about correction. And the first one is that there is value to correction. There is value to correction, especially today, you know, being Father's Day. You know, this morning's sermon brought a lot of value as a father for me. Amen. You say, why? Because look, there was so much preached that, you know, there's so much correction in that sermon that fathers, that all of us can apply in our lives. And, you know, the value that comes in a sermon like this morning's, you can't pay for that. You know, you can't buy that. And it is foolish as a father to sit there and, you know, just shut your ears, shut your eyes, and blindly live life and not apply the correction in your life. But see, there is value in correction. Why? Because all of us are prone to drift from God without it. In this story, we'll go to 2 Samuel 11. Look at verse number 1. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. I want you to be aware of David's spiritual condition before he commits the sin in his life. In 2 Samuel 11, look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired," it says, notice, "at the time when kings go forth to battle." And we see right off the bat, you know, David, it says here, "at the time when kings go forth to battle," it says, notice, "that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." You see, before we get to the sin of adultery, before we get to the sin of murdering a man, we see David already being backslidden based on the small choices he's making in life. It says here, "at the time when kings go forth to battle." I want you to realize that David was not where he was supposed to be. You know, something Pastor recently mentioned in one of his sermons, he said, it is those small, seemingly insignificant choices that we make that lead us to a place that we do or don't want to go in life. See, we are where we are today because of those small choices in life that we make. And here we see David, you know, not being where he's supposed to be. At the time when the kings go forth to battle, he should be out there leading the charge, and he's not going. And what does he do? It says that David sent Joab and his servants with him in all Israel. See, David is now not with God's people. He's sending them away. He's sending them away. And, you know, we think to ourselves, you know, what's the big deal? You know, David just, he didn't go to this battle. He's sending people away. Is it really that big of a deal? You know, what to God, there would have been a man of God who came to David at this time saying, look, David, you're not where you're supposed to be. You should be out there leading the charge. You should be out there with God's people. You know, you should get that right in your life. And look, but people do this. People do this. You know, that's why we have sermons like, you know, recently Pastor preached a sermon on church attendance. And, you know, that was a hard sermon because, you know what, it pushes people to do more and more and more. And we think, is church attendance a big deal? You know, when I'm, well, it is a big deal because when you're not where you're supposed to be, look, that may seem like a small, insignificant choice that you're making, David, but it's going to lead you to a place where you do not want to end in life. It said David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, wanting to be away from God's people. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. Notice, but again, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. You see, there's value in correction. You know why? Because look, it is those small choices in life that we all make. Look, we all make choices in life. And all the choices in life we make will lead us to a destination, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And there's those small choices that we must realize, look, those small choices are what need to be corrected before we get to the grievous sin in our lives. Verse number 2, again, it says, and it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. Here we see David cannot sleep. And look, and when you're not where you're supposed to be, working for the Lord, doing what God has called you to do, you'll find yourself just waking up. Why? Because you're not tired. And look, when you work for the Lord, when you're working at your job, when you come to church, you go in soul winning, you're reading your Bible, you're praying to the Lord, look, that is hard work. And look, that'll cause you to be tired. But we see David, he's not tired. Why? Because he's making these small choices that he's not correcting in his life, and it causes him to be awake. And walked upon the roof of the king's house. Is it that big of a deal? But notice, and from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. See, David, these may seem like small things. Not where he's supposed to be. Not with God's people. Going for a stroll. But it's these small choices that he failed to correct in his life that cause a problem. But same thing with us. Look, when we're not where we're supposed to be, when we're not with God's people, doing what God has called us to do, look, that is a problem in our lives. And David is unaware. And David, of course, goes on to commit adultery with this woman and devises the plan to kill Uriah. And the funny thing is, as you look at this, you know, David doesn't think anything is wrong. But we read this and we see David making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And, you know, for us, we have the luxury of reading the Word of God. We see what the Bible says. We know where it leads. And we read this and we think to ourselves, well, of course, David, you should have led those people. Of course, David, you shouldn't have sent everyone. You should have been there with them. You know, we read that, and of course, we could look down on David, but you know, we do the same thing. Right. Where we think it's okay to just skip out on church just because we don't want to go. Or we think it's okay where we skip out on soul winning just because, well, we think, well, you know, I don't want to go. I just want to tarry and linger. You know, send everyone else to go do the work of God. Where we think it's okay we could skip a day of Bible reading. Look, these are problems. And while they may seem small, insignificant things, that choices that we make, look, they will lead us to a place where we do not want to end in life. But the reality is, look, like left alone, like David, look, we are inclined to make choices and decisions that take us away from God. Key place in 2 Samuel 11, go to Psalm 119, if you would, Psalm 119. See, there is value in correction. Why? Because, look, we're all prone to drift away from God. And it's those small choices in life that we make that will cause us to end up either ruining our lives or where God can bless us in our lives. Psalm 119. And look, all of us left alone, because this is what we want. Isn't this what we want? We don't want anyone telling us what to do. See, the sermon is called Thou Art the Man. But there, you know, as men, you know what we want? We want to walk in here, live our life. We want to do what we want to do in life. Nobody tells us what to do. We want to walk in here. We want pastor to say, you know what? You the man? You the man? No, you're the man. But no, the sermon is, no, thou art the man. It's not you the man, it's thou art the man. And we want to live a life where we don't want people around us telling us what to do, being away. But look, left alone, left to ourselves, all of us will drift away from God. Psalm 118, look at verse number 10. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Psalm 118, verse 10. The psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. You say, why? Because look, seeking the Lord, being right with God, it takes effort. Nobody's going to be right with God just by accident, by not doing anything. It takes effort to seek the Lord. And then it says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The word wander means to stray or to be misled. And the psalmist is saying, look, let me, with my whole heart, strive, make an effort to, yes, hear the sermon, yes, read the Word of God, yes, apply the sermons in my life, yes, make those small corrections in my life now so that I can seek the Lord. And without it, it says, notice, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, this reminds me, Pastor sang a stanza from a song, And I was planning on singing it, but my wife advised me to spare you the pain. But I'll read it for you. A pastor was saying this once. He said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." And look, the reality is that without correction in our lives, left to ourselves, naturally, we will wander from God. And you see this in people. Do you think people quit church, get backslidden, leave church, and all of a sudden they're just right with the Lord? They're just out there soul winning, reading the word of God. They're just praying. They're cleaning up their lives, getting the sin right in their life. No, what you see is that when people decide to get backslidden and they leave, it's a downward spiral. But look, that could happen to anyone. You know, take heed lest ye fall. Look, none of us are above sin. Look, this can happen to anyone. But see, there is value when you come in here. Well, there is value when you hear correction. And look, don't let it hurt you, because look, all of us need correction in our lives. We all need it. It's something that we need in lives. We need correction. Because without it, look, we will wander in our lives. Go to Psalm 106, if you go to Psalm 106. See, why is there value in correction? Because look, it is those small choices in life that we make that lead to a direction that we do or do not want to go in life. Psalm 106. And look, the reality is like, we can quick, it's amazing how quickly we can forget the Lord. And I'm not above this, you know, but if I were to ask, you know, most people, hey, what was the sermon on 2 weeks ago? I mean, would anyone really remember what the sermon was on 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a week ago, this morning, I hope, men? But it's amazing how quickly we can forget the Lord. And this is why, look, yeah, we need church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Because look, when we go out there in the world, we live our lives, and look, we quickly forget the Lord in our lives, unfortunately. Why? Because look, it takes great effort. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Psalm 106 and verse number 9, here we see the psalmist talking about the nation of Israel and the great works that God did for the nation of Israel. He says, he rebuked the Red Sea also in verse 9, and it was dried up. So he led me through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved me from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. In verse 12, then believed they his words. They sang his praise. You know, praise the Lord. That God is blessing them. He's doing great works in their life. And you think, man, God has blessed you. He's doing all these great things in your life. You think, man, like, they're gonna stick with him. They're going to be with him. And look, same thing for us. Look, God has helped us in this church. God has helped you and blessed you in your life. And as much as he has, you know, we assume and we think, you know, God has done so much for this person, for me, for you. We think certainly they won't forget this. Certainly they'll remember how much great works the Lord has done. But then, you know, the next day happens. But then verse 13 comes along. Notice, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. It's like you saw the great works, all the things that God has done for you, and you just soon forget about it. They soon forgot his works. See, the reality is that, look, there's correction. There's value in correction, because you know what? Without correction, like these people, like we've seen just in our lives, look, without correction in our lives, we will go astray. Without correction, look, we will forget the Lord. Keep place here in Psalms. Go back to 2 Samuel. If you go to 2 Samuel. So, look, there's value in correction. And this is what makes this church so valuable. Amen. It's because you come in here, and it's not just, you know, you to man. It's no, thou art the man. It's like, you need to change. There's something that you need to change in your life. And look, it happens in every single sermon. And look, all of us every day need to be growing. Because look, we're all striving to be conformed into the image of his dear son. We all want to be more like Jesus Christ. But guess what? None of us have arrived. And to think that you're the exception is foolishness. And so we see in the story, after Uriah is killed in battle, I mean, we're not going to go through the story for the sake of time, but you know, Uriah is killed in battle by David's doing. You know, Joab sends a messenger to David. And I want you to notice the response from David at the time. Notice his spiritual condition. In 2 Samuel 11, look at verse number 24. Here we have the messenger going to David. It says, and the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. You know, you read that, you'd think David would be heartbroken. You know, Uriah was one of his mighty men. You think this guy who fought, who laid his life down for David. And we see the spiritual condition of David in verse 25. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee. He's like saying, you know, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. For the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. Verse 6, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah had, her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But notice, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. You know, what a sad statement is that David, all making these small choices in his life to lead him to a place where God looked down and says, you know what, I am displeased with David. And in this whole time, throughout this time, David wasn't even aware that God was displeased with him. And look, in this room, we must constantly strive to think about our own spiritual condition. And before we get to the place where we commit some grievous sin, we have to realize, look, it is the choices that we're making today. It is the small choice of not opening your Bible during the sermon. Right. See, it is a small choice of you not listening to the sermon when it's heard. It is a small choice of going home and deciding not to do anything with what you've been taught. It is that small choice of tomorrow morning, whether you're going to read the Bible or not read the Bible. It is a small choice of you waking up and praying. Look, those small choices are deciding where you're going to end up. Right. And we need the correction every day in our lives to improve ourselves so we can grow to where God wants us to be. And so we see David's spiritual condition. He was not where he was supposed to be. He was disregarding the word of God. He orchestrates the death of Uriah, and he has no remorse. And so God has to send Nathan the prophet to preach a sermon unto David. And you know, you would think David seeing Nathan coming up to him. I could just imagine David. You know, in his mind, nothing's wrong. But here we have Nathan, the man of God, coming to him. And you would think certainly the sermon will help David realize what just happened. But in verse number one, we see the same reaction that we get from, you know, sadly, people react like this to a lot of sermons. It's just they don't see it. 2 Samuel 12, verse number one, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, and he gives this parable. There were two men in one city, the one rich, which is David, and the other poor, which is Uriah. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And we see the reaction of David in verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And, you know, David, instead of examining his own heart, instead of judging himself, he thinks, certainly Nathan's not talking to me. Certainly I'm the man. Certainly nothing's wrong with me. And so, of course, David is going to be angry because he has this righteous indignation towards somebody else. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And you see, how did David get here to where he is blind to his own spiritual condition? Well, it's those small choices in life that David failed to correct. In the same way, look, there's value in correction. Because look, you are deciding today in those small choices where you're going to end up in life. You know, especially this morning's sermon, like as a father, the Lord, you know, we all need as fathers, this morning's sermon is something that it's like a wake-up call. It's like, man, there's something that we all need to apply somewhere in that sermon. And if you think, well, you know, it's a great sermon, I'm not going to do anything with it. Look, that is a poor decision you're making right now. But it's those small choices you make when you do or don't read the Bible, when you decide to skip out on soul winning. Look, those small choices will compound to something that you do not want in life. In verse 7, and Nathan said to David, notice, thou art the man. And so realize, look, it is the small choices that we make. And look, this is why we need church. This is why we need Bible reading. Look, because God needs to keep us on the straight and narrow path. Because without the correction in life, look, we will wander off. See, there's value in correction. Why? Because it is the small choices in life that lead us to a place where we do not want to go. There's value in correction. Why? Because look, correction is God's plan for our lives. Keep a place here in 2 Samuel, go to Proverbs 6, you go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Look, correction is something that you gotta realize that God has given us. He wants us to have correction in our lives. And again, ask yourself, is there somebody who can correct you in life? Is there somebody who can say, you know, I can go to this person when I need some correction? And like, your pastor ought to be the one, you ought to just allow him to correct you in life. Amen. But look, correction is something that we all need in life. We're not going to get to the place where we've just arrived. You know, I'm just perfect. There is one righteous and it's me. No, there's none righteous. We all need correction in life. Proverbs 6, look at verse number 23. The Bible says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Notice what it says. And reproofs of instruction, it says, are the way of life. You know, the way of life is how we live our lives. It says that reproofs, what's a reproof? It's you being corrected in life. You being told that you're wrong. It says reproofs of instruction, notice, they are the way of life. Look, it takes humility to be someone who just says, you know what, I need correction in life. And just realize, like, make just be someone who God can mold. And instead of getting stiff-necked and hard-hearted and saying, I'm not willing to change, realize, look, that God needs you to change. And he's given us correction through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, through your Bible reading, through your circumstances in life, where God is trying to mold you. And realize, look, it's those small choices in life that you make. So yeah, the sermon on church attendance is vital. You say, why? Because look, you miss one sermon, you miss one service, guess what? You're probably going to miss two. You're probably going to miss three. You're probably going to miss four. You start skipping out on soul winning a few times, you're probably just not going to end up soul winning. You skip out on prayer and Bible reading, you skip out on these things in life, and like, it's going to take you a place you don't want to go. And like, it's anything in life. Look, the drug addict didn't just wake up one day and just start doing 20 pounds of cocaine. No, you know what he did? He just went to a party. He got with the wrong people. He got with the wrong friends. He took one sip, and where does it end up? You know, instead of picking up the apple, you pick up the donut, right? And then you pick up another donut, right? It's the small choices in life that we make that lead us to a place that we do not want to end up. And realize, like, all of us can get there, but look, reproofs of instruction, being told, you know what, maybe I shouldn't make that choice. Maybe I should go here. Maybe I should decide to be faithful in this area. That is the way of life. Just get used to being corrected in life. Proverbs 3, verse 11, the Bible says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Don't get weary of correction. Just realize, look, that is the way of life. And look, all of us need it. None of us are above correction. So number one, we see the value of correction. You see, what's the value? The value is that, look, all of us are prone to drift away from God. Why? Because it's those small choices in life that we make that will take us to a place that we do or do not want to end up. There's value in correction. Why? Because the correction is God's plan for our lives. Go back to 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12. Not only do we see the value of correction, but look, we see the messenger of correction. And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not up here saying I love correction because, I don't like it. Our flesh doesn't like it. We don't like to be corrected. We want to be told, hey, you the man. But we're not the man, you know? We need correction. And in the story, we not only see the value, but we see the messenger of correction. 2 Samuel 12, verse number 1, notice, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And as God's people, we must realize, look, that correction comes from the man of God. Amen. That God has given us prophets and teachers and pastors to correct us in life. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And in verse 7, the famous words, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. But look, realize, here's the thing. Nathan preaches this sermon. He gives him the story about this parable, and David still doesn't get it. So Nathan says, you know what, let me pull you into my office. And says, you know what, thou art the man. Let me just make it clear. It's you. You're the man. But look, before we get there, before we make that grievous sin, look, realize that, look, every sermon is pastor trying to correct some things in our lives. Here, place in 2 Samuel 12, go to Isaiah 58. Go to Isaiah chapter number 58. You see, we see the messenger of correction. A correction for God's people comes from the man of God. And look, it's our pastor's job to help us correct the sin in our lives. You go to Isaiah 58. But in 2 Timothy 4, 2, don't turn there, but the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. It says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. One of his jobs is to reprove, to correct, to rebuke when it needs to be done. Isaiah 58, look, verse number 1. Notice what God tells Isaiah the prophet. He says, cry aloud, he says, no, to spare not. He said, don't leave anything out. Even that sermon on church attendance, even that sermon on soul winning, even that sermon on the little things that you think are insignificant, they're not that big of a deal. But no, God says, no, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Notice, and notice this word says, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. See, Nathan came to show David his sin. And every week, look, God, the pastor has to just show us the problems. Show us so we can see, so that we can make correction in our lives. And look, realize that that is something that God has orchestrated for us to make us better. And look, every sermon, realize that every sermon is the warning sign. It's saying, hey, David, you weren't at the battle. Why weren't you there? And instead of blowing it off, it's you should say, you know what? Maybe I should have been where I was supposed to be. It's saying, hey, David, you know, you sent all of God's people away from you. Now you're left all alone. Maybe you should get back to where God's people are. And, you know, most people say, you know, that's not that big of a deal. What is it if I don't fellowship, if I skip out on church? What's the big deal? But see, it's those sermons before we get to the place where we make these awful decisions in our life that we must take heed. And it's every sermon that God is showing us. It says, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Show us where we need to be corrected in life. Look, that is God trying to help us. He's trying to make it manifest. Like, how can I show you the areas that need to work on? And so realize that correction comes from the man of God. Not only that, go to 2 Timothy 3 if you would, 2 Timothy 3. See, there's value in correction. Not only does correction come from the man of God, but correction obviously comes from the word of God. And this is where people kind of, I mean, obviously we're all flesh, you know, we're all sinners. But this is really where people just, sometimes I don't get it, we don't get it. Because we think small choices really don't matter. That, you know, what is it if I just skip out on church? What is it if I just skip out on church attendance, a Bible reading, soul winning? What is it if I just skip out on not spending time with my wife or my kids and not being where I'm supposed to be? We think it's not that big of a deal. But see, it's that same attitude that sometimes we take to our own personal Bible reading. We're just, you know, what is it if I just skip out on Bible reading? What's the big deal if I just, you know, skip out on a day of reading the Bible, a day of prayer? But look, no, see, that's the problem. It's those small choices that we make that make all the difference. And correction, not only does it come from the man of God, but it comes from the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It says, and is profitable, notice, for doctrine. And then it says, notice, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you read that verse, and obviously we see that there is value in correction. Because God says, look, the word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? And it is profitable. Why? For doctrine, but also for reproof and for correction. And look, you ought to just take your personal Bible reading time as God speaking to you and trying to literally correct you in life. And, you know, open out thou mine eyes that I may behold one of the things out of thy law, that we can apply the word of God and change it in our lives. But when we fail to do these small choices in life, when we fail to just to make the small choice of applying even our own personal Bible reading, then we think, well, it's okay to skip out on church. It's okay to skip out on soul winning. It's okay if I hang out with these wrong people. It's okay for me to do these things. And then we make up these horrible mistakes in our life. Why? Because we failed in those little things in life. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Psalm 119:9, don't turn there, but the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word cleanse means to correct. And look, so if David, at the time before he committed the awful sin, if David would have applied the word of God in his life, there would have been no need for Nathan to show up and say, hey, look, thou art the man. And in the same way, look, we as God's people, we must realize that, like, our Bible reading time is more than just checking off a checklist. It is God trying to speak to you, trying to help you, trying to correct you. And look, this is why we need it every day. Why? Because look, we're prone to walk away from God. But tomorrow morning, we need the word of God in our lives to read it. Why? Because look, without it, our flesh is going to go somewhere else. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we see the messenger of correction. that correction comes from the man of God. We see that correction comes from the word of God. Go back to 2 Samuel 12. If you would, 2 Samuel 12. See, there's value in correction. It is a small choice in life that we make that leads us to a place where we do not want to go. There's value in correction. Why? Because look, correction is what God has orchestrated for our lives. It's what we need in our lives. We see the messenger of correction. Number three, we see the process of correction. And well, look at verse number seven. 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, the Bible says, "And Nathan said to David," he said, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee the king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." You see, what is the process of correction? Well, the correction must be direct. You know, correction is needs to be direct in your life. What I mean by that is, like, as Nathan is preaching this sermon to David, Nathan needs to make it direct to David because he's not getting it. But look, in the same way, like, when we come to this church, we must on purpose make the preaching of the Word of God direct to our own lives and say, "God, please speak to my heart. And how can I apply this in my life today?" He said, "Thou art the man." In verse 8, he says, notice, "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given thee such and such things." Verse 9, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." We see Nathan making what? Making the correction direct to David. And realize, look, when it comes to correction, we must make it direct to us. That's why, look, when you come to church, realize, look, you must take your preaching, the preaching of the God, and just apply it to yourself and don't apply it to other people. Because, like, sometimes we do this. We think, oh, well, so-and-so needs this sermon. Oh, this is for so-and-so. But, look, when we have this attitude, well, this sermon must be for so-and-so, then we think to ourselves, you know what? I must be okay. And you know what? I'm pretty good. You know what? I don't need this. But no, you look, we all have areas in our life to work on. And when we sit there and we just want to apply sermons to other people, look, realize, like, you need stuff to work. I need stuff to work on too. So when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, look, make it direct to yourself and apply it to yourself. And look, same thing with your personal Bible reading. You got to take your personal Bible reading directly to you and take the application, the reproofs, the instruction from the Word of God and directly apply it in your life. And look, this is how God will bless us. And we know it'll happen in our lives when we start making small choices based on the Word of God. When we wake up and we say, you know what would God have me to do in the situation, as insignificant as it may seem? Look, that's when we know that, you know what, yeah, maybe then you're receiving correction. You're receiving instruction. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, "Take heed unto thyself." Take heed means you got to pay attention unto yourself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, the process of correction is that correction must be direct. And so, look, you got to take the Word of God, the preaching of God, direct in your life. Not only that, but go to Hebrews 12, go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Not only must correction be direct, but correction, it must be painful. Look, correction hurts. I'm not going to sit up here and say, you know what, I love being corrected, because I don't. You know, when pastor says, "Brother Oliver, I need to talk to you," I'm like, oh man, this is going to hurt. You know, correction is not fun. We don't like it. But look, pain is good. Pain is a good thing. You know, pain, it's good to help, you know, allow our kids to go through some suffering in life. Obviously, I'm not saying something horrific, you know, but like, let them sweat. Let them work hard. Because look, it's good. Because look, pain, corrections, the reproof of instruction are the way of life. It is good to go through hard times in life. Why? Because you know what? It'll force us to get on our knees. It'll force us to be humble. And as painful as correction is, it's needed. Hebrews 12, look, verse number 5, the Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son," he says, "despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." And, you know, you read these words and you see the heart of God. He says, notice, my son. He said, because you're my son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise his correction. Don't get stiff-necked and hard-hearted and get this bad attitude because you're being corrected. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Notice, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Look, a scourging hurts. It's painful, but look, it's the only way for God to get our attention. Because look, as adults, you know, I'm guilty of this as a dad. When, you know, pastor's preaching that sermon on, you know, children be your parents to the Lord. You know, I'm like, amen. You know, wives submit, amen. And then this morning sermon, you know, it's harder to say amen, but you know what? Amen. And praise the Lord. Does it hurt? Yeah, of course it hurts. But you know what? It's needed. And without that pain, people aren't going to make a change. So it's like you could choose to take the pain, you know, when you hear the sermon now, or take the pain when your life is ruined in the future or you make some awful sin in the future. So decide to just, you know what, go through it now. Make the correction now. Is it going to hurt now? Yeah, it's going to hurt, but you know what? It's going to save you a lot of heartache in the future. Amen. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And look, how we respond to correction says a lot about us. Like, how you respond to correction says a lot about you. And look, you know, if you in your heart, you know you're the kid or the teen or the adult who gets this terrible, nasty attitude when you're corrected, look, you are wrong. And that is just pride. Look, how we respond to correction says a lot about who we are as God's people. We should be humble enough to receive a correction and say, you know what, yeah, I am that man. I did that. That was me. But look, before we get there, realize, look, it is those small choices that we make where we think to ourselves, that's not that big of a deal. What's the big deal if I hang out with this person? If I skip this or skip that? What's the big of a deal? No, it is a big deal. Because we're going to save you a lot of heartache in the future. Go back to Proverbs 15, if we go to Proverbs chapter number 15. Well, the correction is painful. It's going to hurt. I'm sure David didn't like the fact that Nathan showed up and just showed him the sin. But you know what? I'm sure David was happy about it after. You see, what is the process of correction? Yeah, is that correction must be direct. But yeah, correction, it must be painful. It's going to hurt. Proverbs 15, look at verse number 31. Proverbs 15, 31, the Bible says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. It says, the ear that heareth the reproof, it says, notice, of life, abideth among the wise. Look, it is a wise person who can hear the reproof. Verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Somebody who cannot be corrected, it says you despise your own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Like, I don't know about you, but in life, I want to end up wise. I want to end up understanding. You see, how do we get there? And like, you see people, like our pastor, for example, who's been serving the Lord for decades. You see, how do you get there? You think he got there, he just grew up, you know, knowing all this? And just seeing, I'm just perfect. No. He was a man who was able to take correction and apply it in his life. Amen. And the same way, look, I hope to God that we can all end up one day serving the Lord for decade upon decade upon decade, where, yea, even our children's children will serve the Lord. But it's not going to happen by us not changing in life. It's going to happen by us taking the correction and applying it to ourselves. And so ask yourself, you know, are you someone who actually takes time to correct those small things in life that need to be corrected? And like, you know what they are. You know your own life. You know what it is. And if you're not, look, you realize, look, that is not wise. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. It is foolishness to not apply correction in our lives. He that heareth reproof getteth understanding. See, correction, yeah, it's going to hurt, but you know what? Praise the Lord for it. Because look, this is going to help us be better people. Go, if you go to 2 Samuel 12, from 2 Samuel chapter 12. You see, there's value in correction. Without it, we're all prone to drift from God. Correction is the way of life. We see the messenger of correction, that correction comes from the man of God. Correction comes from the word of God. We see that correction must be direct, and correction, yeah, is painful. Number four, I want to talk about the response to correction. And we see David taking responsibility for his sin with Nathan the prophet. In verse 13, notice a response from David in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. And we see David taking responsibility for his action. And like, this ought to be the response in our lives. When we see an area that we need to correct, that we sinned against the Lord, you know, we say, you know what? I have sinned against the Lord. And like, it could be just even in a sermon. Well, if you hear a sermon that you know, yeah, you know, I've done that. But just take it to the Lord right then and there. Say, you know, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And we see David doing what? See, David just taking responsibility for his life, taking responsibility for his actions. David is not making excuses. Say, you know what? I have sinned against the Lord. You see, what is a response to correction? Because look, we're all going to be corrected in life. Praise the Lord. It's fine. It's okay. Does it hurt? Yeah, it hurts. Is it fun? No, it's not fun. Is it for your benefit? Yes, it's for your benefit. Why? Because the Lord loves you. The response is, you know what? I have sinned. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to deny it. So, you know what? I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. See, the response is, you know what? Just take responsibility. Go to Psalm 51, if you would, Psalm 51. And look, how you respond to correction says a lot about you. Which is why, look, even today's sermon, we got to teach our kids, we got to discipline them when they do wrong. Because look, we got to teach them, look, that you got to just receive correction. Because look, one day they're going to have someone older or their policeman or somebody else who's going to correct them in life. Psalm 51, verse number 1. Here we have David, a psalm after David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him. Psalm 51, 1, the Bible says, have mercy upon me, O God. We see the response from David. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. We see the humility of David. Is that, yeah, David made some wrong choices in life. These small, insignificant little choices that led him to a place where he committed some awful sin. But David, instead of getting upset about it when he's corrected, instead of getting stiff-necked and hard-hearted, he says, you know what? I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You see, what is a response to correction? Is you got to just take responsibility. Amen. And just, you know what? Just say, you know what? God, I've sinned. I messed up in this area. And it is foolish to be hard-hearted and stiff-necked and say, you know what? I don't need correction in my life. And look, David was the king. I mean, David was the most powerful man on the planet at the time. But here we see him being humble enough to allow Nathan the prophet to correct him. Verse number 10, David says this, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, notice, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You see, the right response to correction is to pray to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness. And to others, if we've done others wrong. But realize, look, it is receiving correction early enough in life where we don't make these grievous sins in life, where we don't end up ruining our lives. And the correction comes, we should take it. Go to Hebrews 12, go to Hebrews chapter 12. So we got to take responsibility. But not only that, we should apply the correction in our lives. Go to Hebrews 12, go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse number 11, the Bible says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joy. Hebrews 12, 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It says, nevertheless, afterward, after the correction, notice, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It says, notice, unto them which are, it says, exercised thereby. Not only should we take responsibility, but look, we should apply the correction in our lives. It says it yieldeth the correction, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto who? Unto them which are exercised thereby. When you take the correction and you actually apply it, look, that'll help you in life. It'll yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So look, when it comes to any type of correction, you got to just learn to apply it and say, you know what? I'm gonna change this in my life. And whether it be in the sermon or whether it be in your own personal Bible reading or whether it be Nathan the prophet saying, thou art the man, whatever it may be, say, you know what? I'm going to take this correction and I'm going to exercise it. I'm going to apply it in my life. And not just sit there and do nothing with it. Look, that is foolishness. And look, we're deciding today where we're going to end up in life in the future. And like David, we think it's those small choices that really don't matter. But no, those small choices led him to a place where he did not want to be in life. Go to Revelation 3. If you go to Revelation 3, we'll be done here. Revelation 3. So we see the valley of correction. Without it, we're all prone to drift away from God. That correction is a way of life. We see the messenger of correction, that God sends the man of God to correct us. God has given us the word of God to give us correction. We see the process of correction. The correction must be direct. That correction is painful. It's going to hurt. And number four, we see the response to correction. We must take responsibility, like David, and also we must apply the correction in our lives. In Revelation 3, I want to end with this verse because I think it's a great verse that we must remind ourselves when it comes to correction. Revelation 3, verse 19, the Lord says this. He says, as many as I love. And, you know, we have to remind ourselves of this because obviously correction is not fun. Nobody likes to go through it. But Jesus says, look, as many as I love. He says, I rebuke and chasten. You know, you think to yourself, man, those sounds like opposite things. But you know what? No, this is a loving thing. Even this morning's sermon, you know, a father who doesn't discipline his children because they don't love their children. Because God loves us, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Is that I'm going to correct you in life. And so just ask yourself, you know, are you someone who is easily corrected, who can be corrected? Or do you just have all your ducks in a row, that you're just this perfect person that you can't change? Are you someone who hears the preaching of the Word of God and decides to make a change in your life, decides to correct that thing that was just preached on? Or do you just live your life and think it's not a big deal, it's insignificant? Are you the person who just reads your Bible and just checks it off? Or are you someone who can actually read the Word of God and say, you know what, I see this, I see what God says here, I need to correct this in my life today. You see, why is God trying to change me, correct me? Because as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And he says this, he says, notice, be zealous, therefore, and repent. He said, I want you to be zealous, excited, therefore, and do what? And repent, and get right. And look, this is a daily process. And look, one sermon is not gonna fix everything. We need every sermon. We need every day to read our Bible. We need prayer every day. Why? Because look, every day God is trying to correct us. He's trying to help us get better. And so he's trying to conform us to the image of his dear son. Because in life, look, we need correction. And so think of correction as a good thing in life. Why? Because look, all of us need it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for your word and for our church. And I thank you for everything you've given us, God. I thank you for our pastor and for his preaching, Lord. I just pray that we can apply the sermons more and more in our lives. And I thank you for your word, that we can go to it every day and that we can read it and correct ourselves where need be, God. And I just thank you for your mercy and long-suffering towards us, God, as we all do our best to serve you and to love you and to be more and more pleasing in your sight. I just pray you give us all a tender heart to your word, a tender heart to you, and a tender heart to the things of God. Be with us tonight, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.